Hi, this is Jim Walden. I'm senior pastor at First Baptist Church in Temple City, California, and this is our podcast. Thanks for joining us. In these challenging days, if you're looking for hope and encouragement, you found a good place. We hope God's Word inspires you, speaks to your heart, and grows your faith. Enjoy the message. Well, good morning. Again, I am so grateful that the Lord has enabled you to be here today. And Musa was fun last week, wasn't he? Yes. Don't you love that deep African voice with that that laugh? I just loved it, man. It's wonderful. And thank you for giving me the chance to catch my breath as we got back into town. Man, I'm going to give him the right hand of fellowship in a minute. Anyway, before I left on vacation, we got halfway through the book of Revelation. So now we're starting the second half. Are you excited? And man, is it going to get more and more crazy. So grab your Bible, your fill-in-the-blank outline if you want. Revelation 12, 1 to 17. We're going to plow through this chapter. There are seat belts. I recommend you buckle up. This is the turbo tour through Revelation 12. And today we're going to see the woman and the dragon. Now, when you think about dragons, you often think about those flying creatures that soar from above. How many of you at the beginning of our live stream have seen the new drone footage of our campus? Have you seen it? Go online if you haven't seen it. We had someone take marvelous pictures of our beautiful campus, and Deanna and I were looking at it the other day, and she said something. Isn't it interesting how different things look from above? As we flew out to the Midwest and back at 30,000 feet, the view is so much different, isn't it? This is going to be like a 30,000 foot view today as we look at the end times of the woman and the dragon. And I just got to give you a heads up. You ready? What chapter 12 teaches is wonderful, but not popular. It's wonderful, but not popular. And you may say, you know, come on, Jim, what does all of this have to do with me? What's all of this crazy stuff had to do with us? Let me remind you of this, that I'm fully convinced. If you disagree with me, that's great. I know there's people that don't agree with where I land on a lot of things in Revelation, and that's great because I've never seen it all happen, and I'm trying to interpret it best as I can by the Holy Spirit's insight. But remember, Paul said this, not all who are descended from Israel are what? That's right. Earlier he says, a man and a woman is not a Jew if he or she is one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he's one where? Inwardly. And circumcision is what kind of circumcision? Of the, because we got a heart problem, right? We need God to do eternal surgery on our internal heart. Not by the law, it's by the Holy Spirit, not by the written code. And Paul also said this, neither circumcision, which represented the Jewish nation, or uncircumcision, the Gentile nations, means anything. Say it, church. What counts is a what? New creation. Are you a new creation? Are you a new creation? Look what else Paul says. I'm going to come to that point again in a moment. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to what? He's writing that to the church. We are a part of the family of God. Because remember, Paul said, if anyone's in Christ, he or she is a new creation. We are a part of the entire family of God. That's why Peter said the time for judgment to begin begins with the family of God. Because what's going to happen someday? Jesus said, I say to you that many will come from the east and the what? That's us in heaven. They'll take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Can you wait for that day? It's like going to Chick-fil-A and there's no calories. Is that the greatest? What a feast it's going to be. And we're going to sit with our family members, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all those who are children of Abraham. Now let's review. We concluded chapter 11 with the last verse that says, in God's temple in heaven was opened, and within this temple was seen what? Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? The Ark of the Covenant. People often say, well, we think it's in Tunisia. I think it's in heaven because John saw it there. And the Ark of the Covenant, remember, always represented God being with his people. God being with, aren't you glad God is with us? I don't want to do life without God being with us, especially in these days, right? So chapter 11 ended with the representation of God's presence. And now we're going to get to chapter 12, and I want to give you key words as I do each week. Just keep these on the back burner on your mind as we go through the whole rest of the message. Our world tells us to what? Love yourself, protect yourself, take care of yourself, believe in yourself. But here's the key words for today. It's not popular. It's deny yourself. Deny yourself. Because Jesus himself came along and said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he might deny himself. Is that what he said? No. Did Jesus say he has the option to deny himself? No. What did he say? One of the great musts. There aren't a lot of musts in Scripture, but I want to show you one. We must deny her. I must deny my. That's the battle I have every day. How about you? Denying myself. Take up his cross. That's the sign of self-death. And follow me. And Jesus didn't just say it to his disciples, but to you and me. Luke 9:23, he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. Take up his cross, how often? Daily. And follow me. Now look, it's okay. I'm glad you joined us, even if you're not following Jesus. I'm glad you're with us, even online or here on campus. But this message is not going to make a lot of sense to you if you're not following Jesus, so bear with me. Because I want to invite you today, if you've never done it, to say, today, we're going to talk about today later. Today, I'm going to take the first step of following Jesus. Because even those who do follow Jesus, it's tough, right? It's tough. So Revelation 12:1, here we go. Remember I said in Revelation, it's tough to interpret because we think linearly, we think chronologically. Revelation jumps all over the place, like in movies, flashbacks, flash forwards. We're going to see a flash forward in a flashback today. Isn't that weird? But the woman and the dragon, who's the woman? Here it is, Revelation 12:1. A mega sign, literally in the Greek, it's mega. It's a great sign appeared in heaven. So John sees this. It's a flashback. A woman clothed with the sun, that's a clue, moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars were on her head. So who is this woman? This is the nation Israel. Now, some you might be tempted to think it's the Virgin Mary who gave birth to Christ, but I'm going to show you it's more than that. It's the nation Israel. And the reason this is given to us, I believe, is to remind us that God always has a plan, and God doesn't have a plan B. Isn't that good to know? How many of you come up with plan Bs all the time? God has his plan. And it's to save people starting with and through the nation Israel. Now he expands it worldwide through the whole church, but he started with Israel. And we learned that from the guy with the coat of many colors. What was his name? You all know him, right? And do you remember when his brothers sold him into slavery? They hated him because of this dream. You remember his dream? He said to his brothers, listen, I had another dream, and this time the sun, sound familiar? Moon, sound familiar? And 11 stars, because he's the 12th, were bowing down to me. God relayed from the beginning that he was going to take this nation and bless the whole world with it by saving people. And Joseph relayed that. Now, you remember Joseph rises to number 2 in the world, becomes basically prime minister of Egypt, and his brothers show up, and what do they say? Oh, no, we are dead, right? And he says to them, God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but who? See, no matter what people do to you, God is still going to use it. God is still going to use it. And at the end of the story, and remember we went through Genesis first before we did Revelation, right? Joseph's brothers freak out again because their dad's dead, and they thought, well, Joseph is just being kind till daddy's gone. And they threw themselves down and said, we are your slaves. And Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but what? See, God has a plan. God intended for good to accomplish what's now being done. Here it is. What is it? The saving of many lives. Our great God is always in the plan of saving folks from sin. And Joseph and his brothers And father and mothers were a part of God's plan, which would include the saving of folks from all nations. Let's move on. This woman was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Can I get a witness from the moms in the room? It's Bible's very accurate, isn't it? And she gives birth. Verse 3. Another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with seven heads. We're going to talk about that next week. This is verse 1 of chapter 13. We'll talk about it again. 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. This is flashback number 2. First we saw the woman, now the dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. Revelation 12, 9. You remember this? This is coming up later in the chapter, but I'm jumping ahead. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called who? The devil or what else? Satan. He leads the whole world astray. He's the great dragon. In Revelation 17, we'll get to it in a few weeks. The angel carried me away in the spirit into a desert, and there I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had 7 heads and 10 horns. This is Satan himself. Verse 4 says, his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. How many is that? We believe it's a third of the angels. We don't know. Revelation 5, 1, I think, is a verse that talks about the untold number of angels that follow Satan in this war. But we know that this dragon is the enemy of Almighty God, who hates you, hates God's people, and hates God's plan of salvation. Satan hates that God can rescue you. He knows God can rescue you. See, in some ways, Satan's a great believer. Not in Christ, but he knows what Christ can do. He knows what Jesus can do to change people just like you and me. And I love that. Let's go on. Verse 4. The dragon, this is the flashback now, stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour. That means to consume and destroy her child the moment it was born. We're talking about what day in history? Christmas, right? You remember King Herod when Jesus was born? The Bible says here, when Herod realized he'd been outwitted by the wise men, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Satan used King Herod to destroy so many children because he wanted to destroy Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting that today is July 25th? You've only got 22 weeks till Christmas. Start your shopping now. And on this 25th, we think back to that, what we celebrate December 25th, of the birth of Christ. And verse 5, she gave birth to a son. We know who that is, right? A male child, that's Jesus, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. What's that referring to? Well, what David wrote in the Psalms. David said in Psalm 2, I'll proclaim the decree of the Lord. The Father said to the Son, you're my son. Today I become your father. Ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You'll rule them with an iron scepter and you'll dash them to pieces like pottery. Now, in this flashback to the birth of Christ, in that flashback, we're going to have a flash forward 33 years later. What is that? And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. When did that happen? In Acts chapter 1, it says, after Jesus said these things, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up in the sky when he was going, when suddenly 2 men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who's been taken from you into heaven, snatched up, will come back. Did you hear that? This side wasn't listening. He's going to come back. Oh, they're with it. Did y'all hear that? He's coming back. He was snatched into heaven until the time for him to return, but that happened 33 years later. Now, in Revelation 12, now we're going to flash forward 2,000 years beyond our time in verse 6, in the time of the Great Tribulation, which we talked about in previous messages. Now, the woman, that's the nation of Israel, is going to flee into the desert. by a place prepared for her by God, where she'll be taken care of for how long? 1,260 days. Remember we talked about all that? Why does John and Daniel and many prophets, when it's referring, use days? Well, in prophetic literature, if it's days, it has to do with God's people. Always keep that in mind. That's why it says the nation Israel and God's people are protected for 1,260 days. When it talks about months, it's talking about the work of whom? The Antichrist. When it talks about the 42 months, it all makes sense. That's going back to the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, 42 months, and the work of the Antichrist. And when it mentions years, 3.5 years, it's what God's people and the Antichrist are both experiencing together. Make sense? It'll help you as you read Daniel. It'll help you as you read the book of Revelation. But why for people does God use days? Now, here's where we're going to start getting really practical besides just information that I hope blesses you. Why is it days? You ready, church? Because we are commanded to live what? One day at a time. How many of you could go back and pull yesterday into today? Aren't you glad you can't? How many of you can go get tomorrow for me? You can't. What are we given? We're given today. How did Jesus teach us to pray? Give us what? This day our what? God wants you to live for today. Jesus said, remember we mentioned this earlier? If you come after me, you have to take up your cross how often? Every day. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough trouble of itself. Each day has enough of its own issues. Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. Say it with me, church. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When? Today. See, Satan wants to mess some of you up with your past. Satan is the great dragger up of garbage. Satan is like the garbage truck that doesn't come and pick up your trash. He wants to dump it on you again. The stuff you did yesterday. Here's good news. Yesterday is gone. God wants you to live today. Raise your hand if you've ever sinned. Thank you. We're all in the boat together. Satan's going to try to drag it up and throw it in your face. Let God take care of your past. God wants you to learn to live with him when? So many of you are going, oh, I've done so much. I've been so wicked. I've been so evil. I've been a hypocrite. I've turned against Jesus. I've done what's wrong. And Satan's saying, yeah, quit. Yeah, give up. Yeah, don't go back. Yeah, Jesus won't accept you. Yeah, the Father's mad with you. The Father took out his wrath on his Son. And if you lean into his Son and say, Father, I want to walk with your Son today, guess what? Today you can be a new creation with Jesus Christ. Next, we're going to see the great eternal battle that's going to come is described further. It's the battle we don't see today very well, but let's look at it. Verse 7. And there's going to be war in heaven. Michael, he's the archangel, and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. You want to talk about a good movie scene to watch? Wow. And if nobody's reminded you recently, we're in a spiritual war. The reason why you're going through so much isn't just because you're having a tough time. We're in a spiritual war that we can't see with these eyes. We can't hear with these ears. We can't taste, touch, or smell with our senses. But it's real, gang. It is going on. It's raged on for centuries. That's why Paul said, put on the armor of God so you can take your stand against who? The devil and his schemes. Because our struggle's not against flesh and blood. Are you ticked about the person you're sitting next to? Did you drive up to church today like a lot of families, arguing in the car, mad, angry? You get out, God bless you, good morning. Ah, it's so good to see you. We come to church and we plant the smile on our faces, and then we think we can't relate to each other because we're thinking, they wouldn't know what I'm going through. And do you think your problem is your spouse? Do you think your problem is your husband or your wife or your in-laws or your outlaws? You know what the difference is between in-laws and outlaws is? You know? Outlaws are wanted. Some of you just got that. Okay. I told it to my in-laws and they go, yeah, you're an in-law too. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm not wanted. But our struggle's not against people, gang. It's not against people. Do y'all realize this? Republicans, it's not against the Democrats. You all understand that? Democrats, you understand it's not against the Republicans? Lakers fan, it is against the Warriors, sorry. But do you understand? Our struggle is not, we look at people and go, oh, JR is my problem. Kim's my problem. She sings way better than I do. Or Brittany. It's not our problem, gang. Our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil right now in the heavenly realms. Look at verse 8. The dragon was not strong enough, and his angels lost their place in heaven. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's going to happen. But it's in the future. Because right now, Satan still has access to the whole old heaven. He has since the day of Job. If you read the book of Job, remember the angels came to present themselves before the Lord? Who else came? Satan had to show up too. Chapter 2, he comes back again to present himself before the Lord. He has access to the old heaven. Now here's the good news we saw a moment ago. The great serpent was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan who leads the whole world astray. And heaven rejoices. Verse 10, I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, because the accuser of our brothers, who's that? Boy, be real careful when you're accusing your brother or your sister. C.S. Lewis, I think, is the one who said, I don't have a right to judge my brother because I may not know how far God has already brought him. You know why the world often doesn't listen to the church? Because the church is accusing the brethren. Hey, when you ever want to accuse somebody, just remember whose side you're joining. When you want to get on Mark Gaiosa or Clara Gaiosa, just remember whose side you're joining when you want to accuse the brethren. We are not here to accuse each other. Yes, we're going to have to talk to each other about challenging things, right? Not accusation, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? But the accuser of the brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. Right now, Jesus is on his throne and Satan is before the throne accusing you and me. So be careful, church, when you want to accuse your brother. They overcame the dragon how? I want to give you three quick things just to circle in your Bible. What do they rely on first? The blood of the Lamb. Next week, we'll celebrate communion. Can you believe next week is August 1? Wow, it feels like it today, doesn't it? But we're going to celebrate the blood of the Lamb next week. That's what we rely on, number one, right, church? Number two, what? The word of their testimony, what they say they will believe. And third, this is huge. Here we go with the deny yourself. Here we go. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Now, let me get on a hobby horse for a moment, and then you can fire me. Nobody wants to die. I don't want anybody to die. But we're all going to die. The great playwright, George Bernard Shaw, you've heard me say this, many of you, said the statistics on death are amazing. One out of every one dies. So are you ready to die? Because until you're ready to die, you are not ready to live. And I want to show you, by the time the message is done in a few more minutes, how you can be ready to die because you're ready to live. But how do they overcome? It starts with denying yourself. Now, let's make something clear. Denying yourself doesn't mean being careless with your health. It doesn't mean not being careful and wise with how you live. We are commanded to be good stewards of this world and our bodies, getting appropriate rest. Let me just stop for a moment. I'm going to pick on you. I know a great Christian psychologist years ago that talked to me and said, Jim, I think one of the greatest problems in the Christian home in America is lack of sleep. Some of you need to get 8 good hours, gang. You know what's amazing about Jesus? Was he perfect? Was he all-powerful? Did he sleep? Yeah, he did. Good diet, exercise. Yes, we should have a good financial plan. I'm not saying denying yourself is, well, just let myself go to waste. No. I'm talking about the will. Look, Jesus said, because so many people were coming, they didn't even have a chance to eat. He said to his disciples, come on with me, let's get away and get some rest. Paul said, Nobody ever hates his body. He feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. Paul was on a ship in the middle of a hurricane for weeks, and he urged the people, for the last 14 days, you've been in suspense. You've gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Take some food so you'll survive. And he started to eat in front of them. He broke bread, gave thanks. He ate, so they took care of themselves. Yes, take care of yourselves. But that's not what I'm talking about when I say deny yourself. God's going to take care of his people. When we get to verse 14, we're going to see it. Let's move on, though, just because of time. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea. So heaven's rejoicing, but the earth starts going, uh-oh. Because the devil's gone down to you. He is filled with what? Fury. Because he knows his time is short. Gang, we're going to see more and more of the fury of Satan. And if he can't continue his battle in heaven, it says, verse 13, the dragon saw he'd been hurled to the earth. He pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. How's God going to protect Israel? The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert where she would be taken care of. Now what's it say? Time, that's a year. Times, that's two more years. And half a time, that's 3.5 years. Because see, you got God's people and the Antichrist all involved in that time. This is the last, again, as we've been talking about, last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. What's the eagle about? Well, the tribe of Dan in the Old Testament had on their standard the eagle. Dan means to judge or judgment. So the eagle in Scripture represents judgment. And here's good news. The Lord judges in favor of his people. Aren't you glad? Like the Olympic judges, they judge in favor of those that are victorious. Verse 15. So what's Satan do? From his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. Waters in Scripture are often metaphors of armies. And the Antichrist is going to gather the armies. You'll read about it in Daniel 11 and 12. You'll read about it in the Old Testament prophets. And the Antichrist will use armies to attempt to destroy God. They're going to surround Jerusalem. It's going to happen. Okay? But the earth... Say that with me. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of it. Notice there's never anything good come out of Satan's mouth. What's the point of this? Here we go. Get ready. Buckle up. All creation obeys the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. How about when Jesus was out on the water with the disciples? He calmed the sea and stilled the storm. And they asked each other, who is this that the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this? Have you asked that question? Hey, in the Old Testament, the land even obeyed Jesus too. Remember Moses had some detractors? Oh, we don't know what detractors are like, do we? Moses had a leader, had a bunch of people named Korah and his followers that turned on him. And in number 16, look at this. Moses says, if the Lord brings about something totally new and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them with everything that belongs to them and they go down alive into the grave, then you'll know these men have treated the Lord with contempt. And as soon as Moses finished saying all this, the ground under them split apart, the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and all their households and all Korah's men and all their possessions. Whoa. Because even the land, not just the sea and the wind, the land obeys Jesus. Here's my question. Do we? People are amazed when wind and sea and land obey Jesus. But here's a greater witness. When God's people obey him, that's when people really stand up and take notice. Because even in the end times, everything in all creation is going to submit to him as Lord. And here we go. I just want to ask you, is he the Lord Jesus? Or is he something different? I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. Let's finish it up. Revelation 12, 17. And the dragon was enraged at the woman. And since he can't defeat God's people, Israel, what's he do? He went off to make war against who? The rest of her offspring. Who are they? those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Here's the question. Do you obey Jesus? I'm not asking if you're perfect, because we sin, right? But part of obedience is when we sin, is we turn from our sin, we repent and receive his mercy and keep walking with him, right? Are you in God's family? You may say, how do I know if I'm God's offspring who obeys? Let's look at it real quickly. There's only two daddies in the world. We just celebrated Father's Day a month ago, right? Who are the two fathers? There's the evil one. Who's that? That's Satan. Jesus said to the religious leaders, if God were your father, you'd love me. For I came from God and now I'm here. I haven't come on my own. He sent me. And why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to who? Your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth because there's no truth in him. And he lies, and he's the progenitor of all lies. Yeah, because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Can you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Because he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is because what? You don't belong to God. Who are you listening to today? Is it the evil one or is it the heavenly Father? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. And if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. And my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. Because he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Here's the question. Who's your daddy? Who do you listen to? And here's one great litmus test. Are you being made holy? You're probably thinking, what can make me holy? Do I got to try harder? Do I got to be nicer? Not swear as much? No, the Bible says, say it, church, we have been made holy through what? The sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. How? Once for all. Because by one sacrifice, he made perfect those whoever are being what? Made holy. What makes you holy? Gang, I believe is trusting Jesus' work on the cross. Then when he died on the cross, you are believing he stepped into my place. He took my sin. He paid for my sin. He not only made me holy, he's making me holy. When I was young, my mom teaching us at church used to say to us high school kids, say it with me, gang. Here's what I want you to trust. I can still hear her blessed voice. She's been gone 22 years now. I can still hear her saying, say it, kids. Say it with me. It's the finished work of Christ on, say it again. It's the finished work of Christ on Calvary. That's the only thing that can make us holy. Jesus in John 19 said this on the cross. It is the finished work of Christ of Calvary. In Aramaic, it's tetelestai, and that means paid in full. That's what they write over a debt. It's what they write over a criminal sentence once it was all paid for. And with that, he bowed his head because it was done, and he gave up his spirit. He makes us holy, how? By his blood. Remember that from chapter 1? And he's made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve him. You realize that you are a priest? We're priests of God. And the priests used to wear something like this that looked in their forehead. And that says, holy to the Lord. Are you holy to the Lord? He's still working on us, I know. But are you holy to the Lord? And you say, well, I'm going through such painful times. What good is all this doing in my life? Have you ever heard about how a Steinway piano is made? We have a gorgeous Steinway in our sanctuary that we haven't been able to hear for about a year. I heard a pastor preach a terrific message on this, and I went and researched it myself. It's unbelievable. Do you know they take that maple wood that's the frame, and it just has to sit in a drying room for a year? Some of you are just sitting right now thinking God's doing nothing in my life. And after a year, they take it out, and then they smother glue all over it and press them together. It looks messy. Then several men have to lift that frame and they take it and they wrap it around a press and they clamp it down and they keep tightening the screws around it over and over and over and over. And while that's in that press, then they start to make the innards. There's a bridge that the keys are going to connect to. And a master chiseler is going through with his chisel, chiseling out each area that each peg is going to go into that's going to hold each string. Cutting and cutting and cutting. Then they take this iron frame and place it on top, and then they wrench those strings down tighter and tighter and tighter. Then they take the hammers and wrap them, press them with felt. Then they got to use a device that stamps and crushes each of them three times. Then once the keys are all made, they stick it in a soundproof room. And these machines with hammers that keep coming down, hammer the keys and hammer the keys and hammer them 10,000 times. Then they work with the wood and they keep pressing it until it's this gorgeous creation that when it's put in the hands of a master, it makes music like no other piano. And some of you are going through crushing and wrapping and messy times. You're saying, what good is it? I just want to quit. You can't quit. God is making you perfect through suffering. The book of Hebrews says Jesus was made perfect through suffering. And look at this. The Bible says we are his workmanship. That's the Greek word poema, where we get poem. What's a poem? Most of the time, it's a love ode to somebody else. You're a masterpiece. You're a piece of work. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're a piece of work. You know? We are. But God is at work in your life, and he's allowing us to go through the suffering. And I believe that's why the church goes through a lot of suffering, because God is making it into this masterpiece that's going to play a tune for him. Paul said, my dear children, for whom I am in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. And here's my question. Do you want to see more of you in you, or do you want to see more of Jesus in you? Because here's my question for you this morning. Is he becoming greater and you're becoming less? You know, he began a good work in you. And he's going to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Because we're going to see his face, chapter 22 says, and his name will be on our foreheads. Listen to the last chapter. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who's vile continue to be vile. Let him who do what's right continue to do what's right. And let him who is what? Holy continue to be what? Holy. Because he says, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. Dion and I love these verses. We know them from a song. I have set the Lord always before me. The Lord. I'm going to talk about him in a second and we'll wrap it up. Because he's at my right hand, I won't be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. My tongue rejoices. My body will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave. You won't let your Holy One see decay. And you've made known to me the path of life. You'll fill me with joy in your presence. Look at this. What will God do if you put him at his right hand? He will fill you with what? Eternal pleasures. Why? Because they did not love their life so much as to shrink back from death. So here's my question to wrap it up today. Just listen for another moment. I think we have so many options in America. What a marvelous country we live in, right? Android or iPhone, paper or plastic, decaf or regular, In-N-Out or Five Guys. Getting hungry, aren't you? But I think we've made Jesus an option. Gang, I got to tell you today, Jesus is never called option in the scripture. Is he option Jesus or Lord Jesus? You know, the great hymn, To God Be the Glory, doesn't say praise the option, let the world hear his voice. And I just want to speak to some of you at home. I know some of you can't be here. I get it. Some of you are sick. Some of you are immobile. You can't get out. So grateful you join us online. So glad. Some of you are sitting at home and you shouldn't be. You should be in a church. If God hasn't called you to this congregation, that's great. I'm never the one to say who comes to a church and who leaves. But some of you are taking the easy way out and just making Jesus an option. He's not option Jesus. He's Lord Jesus. He's Lord when he's calling the shots in your life, not the option.
Father, we want to give you our lives. You are our Lord. You lead us through this time. I ask you to bless these people that are going through challenges, that they would turn to you, not away from you. They would walk with you today. They would say, this day, we choose to serve the Lord. Father, I ask you would use us to reach more people that are suffering, and that we would be faithful because we will see you be victorious because you're coming back. Right, church? You're coming back. We love you, Jesus. Thanks for hearing us. In your precious name, we all say. And as you walk with him, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, to be gracious unto you. And as he lifts up his countenance, may Almighty God grant you his peace. God bless, church.
Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed our podcast, you can subscribe and share with your friends. To support our ministry, go and click the link in the description to give online. To connect with us, to know more about who we are, or if you have a prayer request, go to our website at templecitybaptist.org. We would love to hear from you. May God bless you. See you next week.